Yeah, I got to follow that. That's wow. Where was I? Man. Well, happy Easter. That concludes our service. Thanks for coming. We want to welcome our online guests. Thank you so much for joining us all over the place, and such a privilege. Just God is so good, and we are just a bunch of family here that just love Jesus, and we're doing our best to show fruit of that and do everything we can to help you and us, everybody, feel welcome that God is real and he loves you. I want to talk this morning just about moving forward. So I know it's Easter Sunday, and I think all of us have probably been stuck from time to time. And so if we were describing our lives, you know, we each had a microphone or we came up and said, well, you know, everybody's been on a journey, you know, moving in the direction. We hope the right one. We always want to move in the right direction. Some of us seem like we're in the same place. I grew up watching. Anybody else watch Fred Flintstone? He ran by that same window 5,000 times while Dino chased him, you know. Sometimes that's what it feels like. We're just on this hamster wheel going nowhere. We feel like we're stagnant. Some of us feel like, hey, we've moved backwards. So I want to talk just about how to get unstuck and how to move forward and actually start loving our life and start living it in a way that we're like, you know what, this is good. How many want some good days again? You remember how life changes when you were a kid? You had no responsibility outside of maybe cleaning your room. If you're a guy, for me, mowing the yard. You know, my sister, washing the dishes. Somehow I got washing the dishes sometimes, too. I think she worked that out. She's good at that. But, you know, your responsibilities, I mean, your folks got up, they went to work or whatever. In the summertime, you got up or you slept in till I had a friend that's just like, he got up whenever he decided to. I didn't know you were allowed to do that. My dad decided when I got up, get up! You know, I felt like he was John Wayne, you're burning daylight. Let's go. We got stuff to do. I want this done by the time I get home. Yes, sir. So, I mean, success, I mean, all the stuff, I mean, what are we doing? Are we doing anything moving in the direction we need to be doing in? So what I want to talk to us about is just what's most important. Sometimes we put things that are not as important as we think on the shelf and we concentrate on those, but what's most important, my daughter just did a drama on. What's most important is we all just sang about. Jesus is what's most important. Does it really matter what we do today? What we take time for? I think it does. I mean, you're here, you came here. Some of you feel like I got drug here. I get it. You know, my mom would tell me when her and my dad got saved, we had to go to church. I didn't want to go to church because I wanted to do like my friend and sleep in until my eyes decided it was time to get up. But I had to go to church, and I would tell my mom, I just 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes. And she finally would come in and tell me, if you don't get out of that bed, I'm going to take you in your pajamas. And we laugh, but she would. I would definitely go to church in my horsey pajamas or whatever. And she would say, well. We all have moments or those times when something that happened just changed our lives. Something pivotal or something when we were growing up or we decided, hey, that's what I want to do when I grow up. Or just something that's just like you'll never be the same. I get it. We want to live our life. If we're not careful, we don't look at the thing that's important. We don't look at Jesus. We all think we have all kinds of time. So what are we preparing for? What are we getting ready for? Somebody once said this, you can pay now or you can pay later, or pay now and play later, or you can play now and pay later. Either way, you're going to pay. So, you know, we've heard the story, work now like no one else so you can later live like no one else because you worked now. I get it. I understand that. I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about just peace and loving life. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to put what's really important in front of me. If we do what God says, we get blessed. I mean, it's just, it's awesome. You at least, sometimes I don't get everything done. You ever have a list? Or is there any list makers? My wife is a list maker. I mean, she will make out a list. But you know what? That list has saved us many times. I could go on vacation and not take any underwear. She would make sure I had it. Because it's on the list. But we don't take time for some of the important things because we always think we can get around to it. But we all have the same amount of time. It's our most really precious commodity. Would you rather, if I asked people, would you rather save time or money? Many people would say, I'd save money. No. You can fix money. There's millionaires that went broke and found they knew how to build it up and they built it back up again. I'm not talking about money here. Time, once it's gone, it's gone. You can't get it back. If you make a mistake in your budget, you can change some things. You can quit eating out. We found out one time we were eating out a lot. And we were like, where's all our money going? Well, if you track it, guess what? You'll find it. And we were shocked. But I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about what's most important. Time. How we spend it. What we focus on. Let's put some value on time. How valuable is time? Let's say 1 year. Ask a student who failed the final exam. 1 month, ask the mother of a premature baby. 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly blog or magazine. 1 day, ask the person that's not salaried that just earns hourly, and they're saying, we're going to cut your hours. And they have 6 kids. 1 hour, ask the couple waiting to get married. The wife is, or the to-be wife is going, I'm thinking about the wedding, it's beautiful. The husband-to-be is like, I'm thinking about the wedding night, it's beautiful. I'm just being real. 1 minute, ask the person who just missed their plane. 1 second, the person who lived through the accident. A millisecond. If you watch the Olympics, ask the silver medalist because they missed the gold by a millisecond. You cannot change time. You can only change your priorities. We choose our life by how we spend our time. Whether we focus on God or not, we choose how we do that. So what we choose becomes very important. I'll get my life right before the end. I'll have plenty of time. We've all thought like that. Remember when you were 19 and 20? Some of you are like, no. Some teens in here going, I'm not even 19 and 20 yet. But, it's almost like you're Superman. You're Superwoman. What do you need? I remember some people are like, you just need to save $10 a week. How many wish you would have listened to that? Because we're like, we don't need that. We'll just always make and spend money. But there's advice out there, but what we focus on, time. When we start focusing on God and we start getting our life and the things that God wants us to do, and again, this isn't going to be churchy or religious. This is about a relationship. It causes some good things to happen in our life. When we follow God, things start to line up and we were like, wow, this is great. We need to look back and go, why is that? It's because God. When I purposely intend following God, I live my life on purpose. I get my mindset to know that God never loses. The Bible has every answer that I need. Part of my time is I don't take time to find it or to search it. When I was in school, went to college, went to Ohio State. In college, they didn't give Fs, they gave Es. I don't get that. I think they gave us Fs when we were growing up, so you knew you failed. you knew, you loser, you know what I mean? But that, anyway, first semester of college, I got a B in art, and then I got two E's. And I got a letter saying, are you sure you want to be here? And I honestly could think to myself, not really. Here's my thing, because then priorities changed. You go, when you're in high school, if you, you know, back in, this is my day, so you young people. If you chewed gum sometimes, they're like, up, oh, gum, give me your gum. I had guys that was in school with me. I went to a county school. They could snuff, and they'd put it down in their lip, and they'd hide it till they got caught. Then the teacher started pulling everybody's lip out looking at it. Then he started putting it in their upper lip. It was just, you know, but what I'm saying is there's all these things. They went to college. You didn't even have to show up. They didn't care. They already got your money. You just had to show up for the test most of the time. And if you didn't pass, they didn't care. That's up to you. The choice, time. And see, life is just passing us by. And we just think, it's just, we got all the time in the world to get everything right. We don't. We have to live on purpose. Put God in the right place. I like it when I put God where he's supposed to be first. Because then it's just like things start taking care of themselves. He helps me. He protects me. He gives me wisdom. I get peace. I get joy. I get phone calls. We've all got mountains in front of us. We've all got giants in front of us. We got some of them are different. You might not face the same ones we've faced. But God has helped us get out of those. The ones that we've faced. We've sought him and put him first and said, what should we do? And some of what he says sometimes doesn't make sense. But we still do it. And he would get us out. See, to move forward, what I do today will affect my tomorrow. What decisions I make, how I handle that mountain in front of me, that giant. Standing still isn't really an option unless God says, I got this. Be still. Then do that. But I don't want to go backwards and give the enemy territory. I don't want to be like Fred and go past that window again. I'm tired of fighting the same battles. How about you? The Bible says, James 23:7, the first part, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So thinking right means heading in the right direction. Heading right means moving forward. A lot of us, we just live for the moment. And I think there's some merit to that, depending if you're in the right moment and God puts you in that moment, you should enjoy it. But don't let the enemy dictate your moments. Matthew 6:34, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The Bible says, don't worry. It doesn't say don't think or don't plan. And we kind of like, we just take that as a lump. It just says, basically, if we're putting God where he needs to be, he'll help you get through all of those things that you normally would just feel like, it's just all on top of me. And I'm just speaking for Kim and I. We have to practice this all the time. We're not experts at it. Because worry brings with it fear. It's fear-based. It brings insecurity, lack of confidence. And the enemy would love to get you off balance, afraid, not confident in the word of God. Did God say, is what the enemy told Eve. We need to give those concerns to God. God, if you said it, I don't necessarily have to understand all of it. I just have to know that if you said it, I'm good with it. Resting in the Lord is an amazing thing. Have you ever thought, remember Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat, we're going to go to the other side. They all get in the boat, and on the way there, there's a storm. Now, this is an open bow boat, so just so you know, this is not like Gilligan's Island. It's not a closed, you can't go down in the cuddy cabin, cook you some eggs, there's nothing going on like that. It's just open. Jesus is asleep. Now there's water in the boat and it's sinking. They're saying, we're going to drown. He's still asleep. I had to think about that for a moment and had to think, how can you sleep like that? Now some of the ladies go, oh, my husband, if he's watching the game, you might as well forget it. Maybe, I don't know. But Jesus was so grounded in the Father, putting him first. And he had already told his disciples, where are they going to go? The other side. He's trying. Have you ever had a pop quiz? That's a pop quiz for them. Pop quiz, boys. Why didn't they just say, well, he said we'd go to the other side. Let's just, I think you should do what you should do, but I think they should just not worry about it because Jesus said we're going to the other side. But most of the time, God is the last thing that people try. It's the last thing that they put first. I'll do it my way, and if that doesn't work, down the road, I'll try God. We have to fight the enemy with the word. That's what the Bible says. And if we have no word in our arsenal, we don't really have anything to fight with. We can't tell him it is written. We have no authority if we're not a believer. He doesn't have to back down if we're not following God. We really don't have anything to say. I love this. I just found this out and I thought, this is huge. Because in church, everybody thinks you have to be so religious, have to be so spiritual. Have you ever, there's a scripture that says, pray without ceasing. So people think about that and go, I can't. Have you ever tried to pray for a long time? I'm not good at that. And I'm the pastor. Sometimes we'll have an hour. I get inside 10 minutes. I'm already thinking about other stuff and I have to pull my mind back. Or I'm asleep. Maybe not, but close. How many in here could go to sleep in about 2 minutes if you really wanted to? You're my people. Thank you. I understand. I knew one guy that said he stood up on his bathtub to pray because if he fell asleep, he's going to fall. So he's like, this is dangerous. It'll keep me awake. This is what I found out. Everybody has heard, if you've been around church for any time, somebody's going to mention Smith Wigglesworth. Now, I think growing up, he probably got made fun of for that name. Just saying. But anyway, he was known because he was an incredible, amazing man of God who did incredible miracles. Raising the dead was one of those miracles, and it happened multiple times. Healing people, just very confident, very bold. This is what he did. He said he was known for, he couldn't pray for 20 minutes straight. Check this out. And this is like, man, that hit me like, but he wouldn't go 20 minutes without praying. Is that huge? Sometimes we just think we have to do something because we have that cookie cutter mold. You must do this. And Smith is just saying, I'm not really good at going 20 minutes. But I will pray within the 20 minutes. I can't pray consistently for 20. So, we're okay if you're at the grocery store. God, help me find those deals. God, help me do this. God, help me do that. Help me with these kids, God. You don't know the cost of the oil. Oh! I watched my two grandsons Wednesday night. That's what I do on Wednesday night so they can do praise practice. So I'm working. My daughter, Mallory, I told my wife, we got in the car and I looked at her and I said, you amazed me. And she's like, what? I said, how did you, I don't even know how Mal does anything with these two, but they're wonderful, but they're like, bing, pow, poo, wee, wee, whoo. And now Asher is mobile. And man, he's like, I can't leave him alone. There's stairs, there's whatever. And Arrow is like, hey, Potts, hey, look at me. And she had four. Oh, you don't know the cost of the oil. Oh! I'm just saying oh my word. Don't know how that happens. But when you talk to God, when you're in the traffic line from coming home from work or whatever, or waiting on a train in Marion, go figure. You can talk to God. That's praying. Do you know that? Just talking to him. Just making him priority. Let me just talk to you, Lord. These children. Or it might be your wife going, this man you gave me. It's never going to be the husband going, this wife. Did I get any points for that? Good. This is what happens when we're talking about time. We're more reactive instead of proactive. In other words, we kind of don't really plan. We just react to how things happen. And we find ourselves, it's not necessarily all bad. Sometimes you can't help it. But what if we planned? Father, help me. Help me plan this. God, help me. Help me do good today. Help me focus on you today. Help me trust you in everything that I do. I want, you know, so many live our life reactive. I want to be proactive. So if you're going to go to a place and you're like, it's not really the place I'd hang out, but it's, you know, say it's a function, a family function, and you got to be, so you might want to be proactive. What are some things I might face there? So I already make up my mind. This is what I'll do. This is what I won't do. Life is not a dress rehearsal. You don't get a second time around. You got to live for today. You see, proactive people focus on preparing. Reactive people focus on repairing. Preparing and repairing. I don't know about you, but I got enough things to repair. I don't need to make more. So how can I help you move forward? How can I help get you unstuck? I got to work with myself too. So have you asked God? God, I can't seem to get past this plateau. I can't seem this, or this. You're going to get your answer. God will give you your answer. Sometimes it's not even when you're thinking about it. All of a sudden, you'll get it. Somebody will come over and say something, and you'll be like, that's it. What does God's word say about it? If I was giving you a recipe for moving forward, here's the three things I'd give you. Here's number one. I'd put God first. Just talk to him. You don't have to be religious. Just talk to him. You can get away with almost anything talking to him today because, you know, you can put those things in your ear. Maddie and I went on a daddy-daughter date to McDonald's, and there was a guy, he was not liking his fries or his Big Mac or something, but he was going off. And everybody was getting kind of awkward. It was feeling. And so anyways, he finally just left, and Maddie's like, what was that? I said, that was not good, but just pray for him. Then another guy came and sat down. He just started talking. And Maddie goes, Dad, this is not good. Well, then he turned around, and I saw he had something in his ear. I said, oh, he's got a Bluetooth. He's talking to somebody on the phone. I so got to get one of those. You can go anywhere and say whatever you want, and if they look at you, go, it's not you. Don't do that. That'd be lying. Anyways, just talk to God. Just have a relationship with him. Just start talking to him. And God, I just want to put you number one. Did I handle that right? What do you want me to do? Whatever. Put God first. Secondly, decisions. Decide what to do based on what the word says. Decide what to do based on what the word of God says. Well, Brett, depending on what? Depending on everything. How do you mean? I mean, if, you know, has to do with anything, look at what the word says. Live within your means. Whatever that means. I mean, how's that mean to you? What's that mean to you? Ask God. Get a peace in your spirit. And the third thing is discipline. I struggle with this sometimes. Maybe you do too. That's walk out what you decided. That's just putting your hand to it. You want to lose weight? You make up your mind. Here's the choices I'm going to make. I'm going to the party, and they're going to have all these kind of things, but I just started my wonderful plan or whatever, then you got to figure out, what am I going to allow myself? Make the decision. When you get there, you walk that decision out. Walk those decisions. if you don't put any daily disciplines with what you decide, it's not going to work. I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to do anything he says, but I'm going to follow him. That's not going to work for you. I want a relationship with God, but if yet you don't put your hand to it, that's not going to work either. You have to choose this day who you will serve. James 2:26 says, "For the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." There's 24 hours in every day. Everybody gets that. Time is an equal opportunity employer. But we don't treat time equally, do we? We have the same allotted time to spend or to waste. And there's some people that have figured it out, and you're like, how did they do that? I mean, that's why I looked at Kim and said, you're amazing. She's like, what? I'm like, I'm just with two boys, and they are great boys. They are well-behaved boys. They're not bad boys at all. I wish I could have been more like them when I was their age. My mom, rat, rat, rat. I'm sure I put gray hairs on her head. Anyway, isn't it perspective? God, how do I tackle this problem? What is it I'm facing that I need your guidance with? Well, you need his guidance on everything. He walks with me. He talks with me. He orders my steps. His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. See, if you understand what his word says, you don't want to go without him. It's perspective. But we don't see that. We just see like what's in front of us. How many remember Karate Kid? Okay. Remember Mr. Miyagi? Oh, Daniel-san. Wax on, wax off. Paint a fence. You know, whatever. But this, remember when Daniel first met Miyagi? Miyagi said, oh, bonsai tree. Daniel goes, thank you. How do you get that? He said, close eye. I'm just doing my best Mr. Miyagi impression. So Daniel does. He said, picture tree. Open eye. Hands him the pruners and says, now make tree look like picture. That's what we need to be doing. But let Mr. Miyagi be God for you. Let God be Mr. Miyagi. You know what I mean. God, what do you picture for me? I have these dreams. I have these things that I feel like you want me to do. God would probably say, close your eyes. What's that look like to you? Open your eyes. Walk that out. What's that going to be? That means you're going to have to listen to what he put in there. And you're going to have to watch it and say, okay, for me to do this, I need to do these things. And he'll tell you what those things are. Your tomorrows, I can guarantee, will be better than your today's if you put God first. I promise. I'm not saying you'll never have a bad day. You will. There are days that are just tough. Everybody has those. I get that. But you will not handle them alone, because it's not just who you are, it's whose you are. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. The price he paid, that's the value that he put on you. See, what we do, and again, I'm just talking to you from Kim and I. People say, I don't want to make that decision, Brett. You're going to push me to decide Christ. I'm not going to push you to decide anything. You have to make that own choice. I'm not going to make it for you, and I'm not going to put pressure on you to make it. I'll give you an opportunity. People say, I'm a good person. I'm not saying you're not good. I'm just saying just that won't get you to heaven. Because the Bible says that. And that's not smacking you with it. I'm just saying that's just what the Bible says. And I honestly, people are like, I have a lot of time left. I don't know how much time we have left. Honestly, I mean, you can look at studies of what's going on now, and we don't know the actual day according to the word, but we might know the season. There's a lot of things going on. He could come back in this lifetime while we're, I mean, is that cool? I mean, I finally get to fly like Superman. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is Jesus talking. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the way to the Father. I didn't write it. But it's a cool decision, man. And see, if you say, well, I don't want to choose. By not choosing, you kind of choose. Because there's really only two choices. I don't want to make it now. You don't have to make it now. But I can't guarantee that when he's coming back. Could be 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 10 seconds, 3 years, 100 years. I don't know. But you need to know the truth. You can't get to heaven by not choosing. You have to choose Jesus. Sometimes we don't make decisions. How many, there's some people I know, there's people, and I don't know really, I'm not picking on them yet because I don't know who you are. You don't like decisions. You just want somebody else to decide. Do you ever feel like that? Men and women are different. Every guy in here knows, where do you want to eat? I don't care. Wherever you want to eat. You know, guys, that is not true. You pull into some place, I don't want to eat here. You said you didn't care. We just look at things different. Then that's okay. But right decisions are made because they're right. And what we don't put together is sometimes we go through stuff. God didn't put you through it. He's not mad at you. He's not trying to teach you a lesson. You put you through it. Kim and I have made some stupid decisions, more me than her. So what I'm saying is, then I got to walk those out. And God helps me get out. He loves me. But he didn't do it. I did it. And people don't put together like good decisions bring good results. Bad decisions bring bad results. I mean, like somebody turn on the light. Sometimes we just don't connect that. There are people, and I'm going to help you, because there's some people, just tell me what to do. I can't be with you all the time, but I'll help you. Not just because today's being Easter. You might be thinking, if you're here, and you're like, okay, here it comes. He's about to give us the line. The normal church answer. You knew we were going to talk about Jesus. That's what we do, because he is our number one. But this isn't about religion. Again, this is about relationship. I want you to understand, walking with Jesus, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's about a relationship. In any relationship, I think you have do's and don'ts. Hear me out. Every other decision I could give you, let's say if I gave you your top five things that you need to make up your mind on. But they all hinge on Jesus, your faith. I would say your faith would be number one, your health. I knew a kid could eat 5 Big Macs in one sitting, skinny as a rail. I wanted to show him the scripture, this too shall pass. Then somebody said, there's some place that you can eat, I don't know how many, like a 5 or 10 pound burger. Wouldn't that hurt? I don't know, but I mean, there's people that do it. Anyways, health would be second. Family would be third. Your thought life would be fourth. Fifth would be finances. And again, the only thing I want to say about finances is just be wise. You know, if you have a budget, stay in it. Figure it out. But let's focus on the first one, because that's the one we're about finished. That's what we're talking about. Settle in your heart to make right decisions in these things. I'm going to make the right decision about faith. Are you going to be perfect? No. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I have made up my mind to stay with Jesus. Do I make mistakes? Sure do. But I don't want to leave him. And I know he says he'll never leave me. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. I make the decision, and then my job changes. I've already decided. Now I have to manage what I decided. Do you hear me? So if I've already decided, now I have to now manage what I've decided and walk that out. So then I start seeing God's blessings and success. So in each of these areas, I want you to really concentrate on the first one. But settle in your mind what I'm going to do. Now, for me, I'm just going to skip right down real quick just to family real quick. When, you know, we've been pastoring for a little better than 30 years. And I come home, my kids, to this day, they're not afraid to hug me and kiss my cheek or whatever. My boys. And, you know, when I came home, they'd be like, Daddy! I would, what is that, deconstruct in your brain or de-stress or something on the way home. So when I got home, I wasn't PB anymore. I was Daddy. Because that's what they wanted. So I had to. I made that decision, so then I had to manage that decision. Does that make sense? So when I got home, I wanted to wrestle with my boys. I wanted to be there for her. She was like, adult conversation. Because she had four kids going, I want juice. He's breathing my air. He slapped me. You know, she'd be like, I'm clocking out. You're clocked. You're on the clock now, pal. So we worked as a team. But we knew that. We made the decisions, and then we managed what we made. And we made them together. That's really important. There'd be times like we realized our kids were wonderful, but we didn't have any time just to kind of have a date. And how many knows if you want to get a sitter, you don't really want to get a bank loan for a sitter. So we decided, okay, let's get creative. So her and I, we started, after they went to bed, we started talking, how do we want to do this? And then Mallory got, she was growing up, and she liked helping, so we liked having her help. So, you know, we would put the other kids down, or we'd have her, she'd entertain them, and then I would make a dinner for Kim and I, and you know, or whatever we did. Sometimes after we put them to bed, we would lay out a blanket and we'd get Chinese takeout food and, you know, or something. Whatever we did, we made the decision, and then we managed it. And we look back on those times now, and I think, man, that was awesome. Sometimes it was hard to manage. Because you could just be, I mean, I'd just be right in the middle of like, you're so pretty. Daddy! Help me, Jesus. You know, it's just one of those things. But you manage it, you work through it, you figure it out. This is going to help you for two good reasons, and we'll finish this up here. It's not an emotional decision. You're not making it with emotion. Sometimes, we do that. You're just like, oh, I don't care. It wasn't made in the heat of the moment. Right decisions are made because it's right. It's just what you need to do. You need to have time with each other. You need to have time with your children. You need to live within your means. You need to whatever. And then it makes life easier. That's the second thing. If you make decisions and you manage them, life gets easier. My dad's sitting back there. He would have me, he had me do two things at home. Mow the yard, take out the trash. If I didn't do those things, life was not good. If I did those things, life was good. He, you know, I could stay there. You know, when I did move out, I'd come back and I'd say stuff like, Dad, is there anything? He said, well, you can look in the fridge, see if there's anything in there. I'm like, that's dangerous. If you know my mother, that's very dangerous. Dad, what did you have this last week that's green? We didn't have anything green. Don't touch it. That's a whole nother story. But anyway, you make the right decision, then you manage it. It makes your life easier. There's three kinds of people. People who don't know what to do, people who know what to do but don't do it, and there's people that know what to do and they follow it through. They do it. There's people around you that need to see fruit. Your kids, your family. Now, my grandson, Arrow, is amazing. He's five. He calls them Matronics. Which is animatronics. It's the things that you see every holiday at Walmart or wherever. You push their hand or their foot and they sing and they move and they do something. He loves those. He's making a collection of those. So Kim and I, when we go out, we go to Goodwill or whatever and we we find them if we find, and he absolutely loves them. Now, this just happened yesterday, so I'm going to tell you the story. I'm closing, and I'm going to give you an opportunity here, okay? He prays, and he believes God will put these in the right places when he sees them at the right time. And so that's what we do. And that's happened over and over again. There have been times we got them, and, you know, you don't know if they work. They didn't put batteries in them. You don't know. And we've taken them home, and they didn't work. We've laid hands on it, and the thing starts working. And he's all, and listen to me. You can't convince him anything. He just said, Potts, let's pray. We can pray. Potts, okay? Okay? I'd be all right. Well, we went there yesterday, and there was, because he loves Christmas like we do, and there was a clock there. And it was Christmassy. And so Kim has this great idea, which is a great idea. They sell batteries there. She said, go buy the batteries, put it in the clock. If it works, get the clock. If it doesn't work, you know, I'm like, okay. So I bought batteries. It didn't work. And so he still wants it. And I'm like, no, we're not buying it. And he's saying, but Potts. That's what he calls me, Potts. But Potts, I want it. It's cute, okay? I'm like, honey, I love you, but I don't want to pay $5 for this thing that doesn't work. And he said, well, we can pray. I said, it already doesn't work. I mean, if I got it home and we prayed for it, this is what's going through my mind. Then, yeah, God could do it. But see, he's not caring what circumstance is what. He just knows God does it. That's all he cares about, the faith of a child. I took it from him, and I put it back on the shelf. Go ahead and go, aw. This crowd's getting mean. So the guy over here, boo. Give us Barabbas. No, that's already happened. So we go home. He was sad, and he didn't even want to get out of the car, and he was sad, and he, you know, so Justin went and was talking to him, and Mal was talking to him, and this is what he said. Could have brought it home. I would have prayed for it, and God would have did something to it or something like that. And I told Kim, I got home, I said, I got to go back to Goodwill. She's like, why? I said, I got to go buy that. I hope that clock is still there. She said, okay. Now, listen to what I'm just saying. We've worked that out. I don't have to decide. She didn't. You know, we're walking that out. We work together. So she already knows what I'm going to do. So she's like, okay. So I run to Goodwill. And the lady already knows it didn't work because I said, so I went up to her and I said this. Since it doesn't work, do I have to pay $4 and something for it? Or can you just give it to me like a $2? You might be saying, Pastor. But I'm like, it doesn't work. And she goes, no, we don't do that. You just have to buy it. That's just the way it is, if you want it. Now I can see my little grandson's face. I said, okay, I'll take it. Then this is the next thing. Do you want to round up? Sure. So we did. Bought it. Took it over to his house. He gives me the biggest hug. And this is what he says. He looks in my eyes. He goes, I love you, Potts. I said, I love you too. And I said, I'm sorry that I didn't think like you were thinking, and I'll believe with you. And he just said, okay, like it was no big deal. I went home, they send me a video, it's working. I mean, it plays all kinds of Christmas songs and all that, and the Lord told Mallory to do this or whatever. I mean, I put brand new batteries in, it wasn't working. Why? Because number one is God. If you put God number one, those little fruit things, those are awesome. He prayed for me too. I just, the other day, well, Maddie's birthday was yesterday. And she is 29. So we went out to eat. But we were sitting in this chair and it just, you ever have a place where it's like, man, this is hurting my back. So I started speaking to my back. But Arrow was like, what are you doing, Potts? I said, my back is bothering me. I said, I don't want it to bother me. Would you pray for it? And he goes, no. I said, oh, come on, buddy, would you? So he just goes, okay. He puts his hands on my back. And he goes, Jesus, you heal Pot's back. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I kid you not, my back instantly felt better. And, you know, it wasn't bothering me for the rest of the time we were there. Why? Because in his life, God is number one. He just believes. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes today?